This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Today's Veterans Day ceremonies could be the last during wartime for many years, one hopes. By this time next year, most American combat troops are scheduled to be out of Afghanistan, marking the end of the nation's longest war.
But even with those troops back home from Afghanistan and Iraq, military families continue to feel the impact of war far beyond the battlefield.
Now, a new study on personalized treatment for returning service members suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder is offering them fresh hope. Radio Boston's Dina Rosendorf has our report today.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of really bad things, and I've had to use my weapon when I've had to. But, I mean, I keep telling people, they're like, well, you gotta come home safe. And I say, yeah, I'm gonna. They go, why? I said, I have bills. I have to come home safe.
That's Michael. He doesn't want me to use his last name. He's a cargo specialist with the US Army. He's the first in and the last out of combat zones, responsible for loading ships, trains and planes with military equipment. And he's about to ship out for his third deployment, this time to Afghanistan.
Well, I'm happy. I mean, I'm not distraught about it at all. I mean, I know I'm going to do something good. I'm going to be working to get the troops in and out of country. So it's kind of a rewarding job.
Michael, like one in three veterans of the Iraq and Afghanistan wars, suffers from post-traumatic stress disorder.
A lot of people that haven't served in the military or haven't really experienced PTSD don't understand it. And a lot of times when people don't understand, they fear what they don't understand. And I mean, I can say I feared it too because I didn't understand why. So out of fear, I never did anything.
Michael says it wasn't until after his first deployment to Kuwait that his PTSD symptoms first started. He'd white-knuckle his way through crowded malls, refuse to sit with his back to the door of restaurants, and use alcohol to take the edge off social outings.
I mean, you get irritated. You get irritated with people. And to the point where it's like you don't want to talk to them. You don't want to be around them. You just want to be by yourself.
Eventually, his 14-year-old son intervened after hearing an ad on the radio calling for participants to join a new study looking into treatment for PTSD.
It was after the second deployment. I was driving my son home, and it came on the radio, and I had heard the commercial a couple of times, and I was like, oh, it sounds like a good idea, but when he said, Dad, you need to go there, it hit me right in the heart, too, and it wasn't just that son. It was my other son and my daughter's.
After almost a decade of enduring his symptoms in silence, Michael contacted the Home Base Program. It's a joint initiative between Massachusetts General Hospital and the Red Sox Foundation, and it's the first program of its kind in the nation, where service members are treated outside of VA facilities. Researchers there are looking at the effectiveness of medication combined with prolonged exposure therapy. That's where patients are encouraged to approach traumatic thoughts, feelings and situations through habituation in order to decrease the power they have to cause distress. The trial's participants are broken up into three groups: those who have weekly therapy sessions combined with an active drug, sertraline, those who have the therapy but take a placebo, and those who only take the medication. During the program, neither the patient nor the research physician knows if they're taking the placebo or the active drug.
And what we don't know, is it better to have a medication? Is it better to have a talking therapy? Or is it better to have the combination of those two together to have patients get as well as possible?
Dr. Naomi Simon is the program's chief medical officer and also the director of the Center for Anxiety and Traumatic Stress Disorder at Massachusetts General Hospital. She says all three treatment streams have been shown to be effective, but what researchers are now in the process of trying to find out is which people respond best to each treatment.
Really understanding, you know, what are the primary symptoms that this person is suffering from post-traumatic stress? What are the underlying biological markers that we can tell from their blood? And then we also have some brain imaging going on so that we can really do our best job going forward to characterize who's going to respond best to which intervention based on their own personal characteristics.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
It's good to see you.
Before shipping out for his next assignment overseas, Michael is meeting his treating clinician, Dr. Stephanie Fredman, for a final debrief. They discuss how far he's come since they first met a year ago.
I remember it was hard for you to sit with your back to the door.
Yeah.
In particular. And that one of the things that we did that on purpose in the office. And then,
yeah, because the first session, I could actually sit with seeing the door. And then the next time I came in, you switched and put the table on the other side and sat me where I couldn't see the door. And yeah, you tested me every time. And I just, some days I was just gritting my teeth. But in the end, right now, I am very, very happy that I've called and I took charge of this.
Well, you really rose to the occasion. I mean, I think that same courage that you took to go into battle was what you brought to recover from PTSD. And PTSD really is one of the most treatable psychological problems out there.
Yep.
And you're a great testament to that.
Michael says that since seeking help, he's been able to lead a more active life. He's lost 30 pounds, and his friends have noticed that he smiles more. But most of all, he says it's the difference his treatment has made to his family that has meant the most to him.
I'm able to actually go to a Red Sox game, go to a Bruins game, and not have to have alcohol. I can, I don't have to have anything to feel safe or anything else to be able to enjoy things with my kids and actually feel like I'm enjoying it. And my wife's like, you actually look like you're enjoying things again. I'm like, well, yeah, I am. Before I came in, I felt like the only place I could ever be happy is in a boat in the middle of the ocean where nobody can touch me. Mm-hmm. Now I just want to be on like a potty boat, just enjoying life again, and I'm just so happy that I came here.
And that was Michael, a cargo specialist, ending that report. Our story was produced and reported by Radio Boston's Dina Rosendorf. You can learn more about the home-based program at radioboston.org.